Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Bulldog, test, Andrew, Bulldog,
Albert.
Andrew, Albert!
Come on to the rock show, come on to the people's show, come on to the premier show, SmackDown!
It's the year of our Lord, 2001.
A space odyssey!
Yes, I will do that.
It'll be a long year. The 22nd of February, Atomic Kitten, Hole Again. Number one for the second week. Dido, No Angel, again for the fourth week. Hannibal, that's an opening weekend record for an 18 certificate film. Weekend gross include £800,000 of previews to be number one film in the UK box office. It's a film I really liked as a kid, but then Mads Mikkelsen's come along and just ate him all up. This week, Hearsay, the band formed by ITV's pop stars, made their singing debut on the channel's chart show CD UK. They had been required to mime during a previous performance recorded for Channel 5's Pepsi chart show because their backing tapes had not been completed. And see, because reality is so funny, they weren't pop stars, but they were done in about a year after their one single. And then Liberty X, who the runners-up, were around for bloody ages.
They were, weren't they? Were Liberty X the runners-up? Yes, they were, weren't they?
Certainly would. Legend of Zelda, Oracle of Ages and Seasons, the big game releases this week after Nintendo went, you know what, we can't be bothered making a new Zelda game. Capcom, how about you do it? They did such a good job.
But they did a good job,
yeah,
to be fair.
They did such a good job, they were never asked to do it again.
Yeah.
And the Fun Mouth Crisis has begun. Like Shang Tsung. It has begun. Oh, what a time to be alive.
I think the way you said it then, it sounded like you said the Fun Mouth Crisis.
Fun Mouth.
The Fun Mouth Crisis.
Oh, the fun
what
we had
a
back
fun
in the
mouth.
Day. Yeah.
Fun Mouth. Whole lot of fun. No. Crisis to be one. No, the Foot and Mouth Crisis.
Yes.
Began.
Yeah.
A pandemic of
is in you open your mouth and put your foot in it.
Hmm. We just kept embarrassing ourselves in front of our Auntie Belinda's. I remember the foot and mouth thing. Do you remember the foot and mouth thing? And I remember that being a thing. We talked about it.
It's a Peter Kay special. Remember foot and mouth?
Remember foot and mouth? Hey, I'm looking forward to Peter Kay's comeback tour in 20 years' time. Remember COVID? Yeah. Remember lockdown?
I just remember the Frankie Balls thing. Hey, remember Peter Kay? Exactly.
Oh!
On that happy epidemic-based start, that was happening in the ugly world of reality. But what? I'm about to sneeze. What's happening? Could turn away and everything. Decided to sneeze right in the microphone.
Keeping that in.
What was happening in the world of wrestling? Hi, I'm Matthew, this is Tom. Hello. It's a Cold Water Classic SmackDown review.
Hooray!
Oh, look at the audio levels. That sneeze. Sorry, I've got a dancing ring on the monitor.
We're monitoring our vote because we are in our new favourite studio. We're in here now for the SmackDown review.
Certainly are. I look like a dirty goth.
Bless you, mate. Are you all right?
That was. I thought I was until I saw that. Yeah. It's a very, very dark room lit, and the long hair and the Adam Cole tan.
You look lovely.
Looking fantastic.
Garth Marenghi energy about you today.
Go on, Tom, how you doing?
I'm good. My leg's fixed.
Good.
I can walk again. It's good. Not that I couldn't before, but I was in a lot of pain after my birthday. You but were. I'm all recovered now, pretty much. Still some scarring, but we're moving around, so that's nice.
You're like the Ric Flair, stumbling and fumbling.
Stumbling and fumbling, and just shouting.
Wheelchair riding.
Shouting at Becky Lynch whenever she walks past.
Give me back my man.
You stole my man. Yeah. Oh, bless him.
Well, I'm glad that you're walking.
I'm all good. What's been happening this week that's of high consequence? Nothing much, I don't think. Oh, yeah, Keith Lee's back in wrestling. Yeah. That's exciting.
Your mate.
My mate, Keith Lee.
Aw.
We wrote a song about him and everything.
You did.
I'm so excited to see Keith Lee back. It was just a happy time watching him hoit Isaiah Cassidy around on Dynamite.
And it's great because it's like, oh, is there going to be a place for Keith Lee in AEW? This indie darling who loves Kingdom Hearts. This giant nerd of a man. Is there going to be a place for this man in AEW?
Oh, I just don't know. They're all so serious there. Yeah. But that's the boring, real, modern world of wrestling, and we're not bothered about that.
Oh, modern wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, ooh. Boring that. What's new with you, Matthew Gregory?
Nothing.
We've had a really boring week, haven't we? No, this is
it's
nice.
It's just been business as usual, Tom.
Business as usual.
Yeah, it's nothing extravagantic. It's not a word, is it?
Extravagantic.
Extravaganza-esque. Let's move on. Yeah, no, it's not been nothing. You know what? I'm just focused on what we've got today, which is...
On the docket, SmackDown from February the 2nd, 2001.
Yay! But you know what? I can't even visualise what that looks like, even with Hannibal to the left of me. Dido everywhere. Apparently.
Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Hoping Hannibal would eat Dido. What was happening in wrestling, just to set the scene?
In the wrestling world this week...
I blow my nose.
You blow your nose. You haven't got...
I haven't got any tissues, so just like...
You haven't got any diseases, have you?
No.
Do you want to go and get tissues whilst I do a little bit of a preamble?
I think I'm good.
You sure? Okay, cool. So over in WCW, which, as far as we know, that's still sticking around. There's no plans for WCW to go anywhere. And business carries on as usual. Some creative plans to get into in a minute. But they presented Super Brawl Revenge on Sunday, just gone.
Okay.
This was the penultimate WCW pay-per-view.
That's right.
As it would turn out to be, the penultimate WCW pay-per-view.
I remember which one.
We saw Chris Harris pinning Kid Romeo in a dark match.
Wow.
As in, like, you know, Bren Walker, I'm going to knock your brains out.
No, hang on. That's not fair. I was America's most wanted for years. How dare you? Future Bren Walker. Shocking. Rick Bogner, headliner for thousands in Japan for years, and his legacy is fake razor. Oh, Chris Harris is here in the undercard. My name is Braden Walker.
Phil Brooks, better known as that guy in the mob car from WrestleMania.
Right, there you go.
So that was a dark match. So Chris Harris getting a runner. In fact, there's been a little bit of bluster from a few ex-ECW, well, what will soon be ex-ECW stars. Mm. Because there's a few no names.
ECW is dead.
It is, but yeah, it's if it's not dead, it's hanging. It's on life support, but it's definitely
It's dead.
Very much dead. Okay, but
we've had the last show a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but it's still not official. I don't think.
The ECW crew decided it was the end.
So, but they've been asked. They've been
99% dead.
A few wrestlers from the ECW side, no names have been said, were offended. Matthew, offended.
ECW to
be
offended.
I know, to be asked to do a tryout match for WCW.
Did say who they were?
No, Lance Storm in his column puts out a plea to the ECW guys to stop being offended by being asked to do a tryout. Because they're kind of because they've been presented in such a way for so long, like, I don't need a tryout. I'm ready to go.
You know why they're doing that? They're going, yeah, lads, we had the Public Enemy here a few years ago. We need to have tryouts now.
Exactly. That's just sensible. Hit me with some star ratings for Super Brawl Revenge. We won't get to do many of these for long. Yeah. Shane Helms winning a six-way cruiserweight match over Shannon Moore, Kaz Hayashi, Yun Yang, Jamie Knobel, and Evan Courageous for the cruiserweight title. No, it's not for the cruiserweight title. This is for top contenders.
Yeah, how many? Chavo, the champ, I think.
He is indeed. How many stars?
Not many stars in that, is there? Two.
three and a quarter.
That's overrated. Mm. That's the match that Jimmy Wang Yang talks about.
Oh, he's done all this stuff in his career and you only know him as Jimmy Wang Yang.
No.
Headlined in Japan. Now you only know him as the cowboy.
Headlined in Japan.
He's not that young rookie Takamichi Inoki.
He's not a household name in his own house. He got so annoyed with Evan Courageous, like throwing spots. He shot at him for like a few seconds and took him down, and then just realized, oh yeah, I'm on pay per view. Probably shouldn't be doing this.
I should behave myself.
Yeah, hang on. Whoops, sorry about that.
Hugh Morris beat the wall. We don't need no education.
Was he the wall at this point? He's not a wall.
No, he's just the wall.
The wall left? The Misfits?
Yeah, the Misfits kind of dissolved.
I guess because Chavo had left.
Yeah, so all in all, he just went back to being the wall.
Oh, wait, I'm saying Hugh Morris beat him, right? Mm. General Erection, so I've really contradicted myself there, haven't I?
It's fine. Oh, bloody hell. He's headlined all over the place and you only know him as General Erection.
Well, that particular role stands out.
It does, to be fair, because it had a rude name. Stands out like a penis. I get it.
Thank you, Tom. Jesus wept.
Good
text.
Joke, that knob gag.
What, half a
How
star?
Many? Half a star. Well done, mate.
Yeah, come on.
Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo retain the WCW tag titles over Mark Jindrak and Sean Stasiak.
Oh, the good one. Shawn Michaels versus the Jannettys.
It's basically what this
two
is.
Two stars.
It was 2¾.
Whoa.
Chavo Guerrero Jr. versus Rey Mysterio Jr. for the Cruiserweight Championship.
All right, 2½.
3½.
Wow, okay.
Rick Steiner retaining the US title, pinning Dustin Rhodes.
Oh, Christ, a quarter star.
2½.
Bullshit.
Yeah, he pulled it out. They pulled it out of the bag there. Future father of Bron. Rick Breaker, as he'll be known as going forward.
Rick Steiner was dog rough at this point.
Dog rough.
Woof, woof, poo, poo. Oh, so bad.
Buried Rick Steiner. Buff Bagwell and Lex Luger beat Brian Adams in 6:25. Clark had got taken out before the match, so they just faced one half of Chronic.
Literally no memory of that match whatsoever. Dud.
Quarter of a star.
Oh, they had the working boots on.
The Cat beat Lance Storm to win back the commissionership.
Hey, that's right. Oh, I liked it. Half a star.
Two stars.
Jesus.
It says here in the Observer, Storm did about as good a job as any carrying Cat as you probably could.
Yeah.
In an impromptu match, Chris Kanyon beat DDP. So the story here is Jeff Jarrett showed a tape where Paige said that he will fight you'll fight Kanyon anytime, anywhere, because Kanyon's been doing the positively Kanyon thing. So, and therefore, Ric Flair as the boss of WCW, not the commissioner, but the boss, said, in that case, you can have a match. I know DDP, you're set to face Jeff Jarrett, but you're going to have a match against Chris Kanyon right now. And they had a competitive back and forth match for 8 minutes and 15 seconds, in which Jarrett helped Chris Kanyon win. How many stars?
I want to say way more, but probably only 2½.
3¼.
Oh, get in.
They went
for
it. What
a great show this is on paper.
Yeah. Then after that, we had DDP, who beat Jeff Jarrett, a match that began immediately after the last one.
There we go, that's it.
It was cut for time, but Paige dodges a guitar shot, hits the cutter. Hits the cutter for the win. How many stars?
Two. No.
3½. This is a good show.
Mate, this is like Super J Cup levels of performance here from WCW at the very end.
In the main event of the evening, in a convoluted clusterfuck.
This is what I remember.
Look at all the writing about this one match that's 11 minutes long.
So look at the size of the paragraph. It's amazing.
Scott Steiner. Steiner versus Nash for the WCW title. Okay, so I'll try and give you the Cliff Notes version. Oh, okay. So throughout the show, Ric Flair has been sending like baby faces home.
Oh, phew.
So therefore, no one can help Kevin Nash. During the pre-show, they said they didn't know if the main event would take place because Kevin Nash is injured. So that's how you sell a pay-per-view, isn't it? So Kevin Nash comes out in a wheelchair with two hot nurses.
Nash's nurses. One of them was April Hunter, I believe.
Yes, it was. Nicely done.
I know my perv.
You are, bless you. And then as he got into as he got towards the ring, he revealed, he took off the blanket he had on his legs, and it was a fake cast on his leg.
Excuse me while I whip this out. Yeah.
Set up all along. He then jumped into the ring, clocked Scott Steiner with the title belt, pinned him in 17 seconds, new champion. But wait! Flair orders the match to go 2 out of 3 falls. Okay, so Paige ends up... There ends up just being a lot of nonsense in all of this. Scott Steiner gets cut open. There's run-ins of plenty. Steiner hits Nash and knocks him out to the floor. Flair then announces it's now false count anywhere. No disqualifications. The chair shots continue from here. Nash juiced from a chair shot, but broke out of the recliner. No one's ever broken the hold, they exclaimed. Unfortunately, memories of Goldberg flash before my eyes, says Dave Meltzer. Powerbomb by Nash. Medeja breaks up the pin. Nash gives Medeja a side slam. Nash then goes for a pin. Flair pulls Charles Robinson out of the ring. Nash goes after Flair. Steiner recovers, hits a low blow. Chair shot. And Marcus Johnson runs out, signals for the bell as the Steiner recliner is on to award this mess to Scott Steiner. How many stars?
8.5.
1.75.
I love Davey even coming towards that.
Yeah.
That rating, that's amazing.
That's just a hot mess of a match, of a main event. The Observer says here, the current storyline is to virtually eliminate all the top babyface from the rosters and present Diamond Dallas Page as the last survivor against Scott Steiner in Jacksonville. There's no shutdown likely because TNT have said no. Turner have said no, you're not shutting down, you've got to keep on going. The plan is to build to an episode of Nitro, which sees the new owners come in and bring back Goldberg, Sting, Kevin Nash, Booker T, possibly Hulk Hogan, all at the same time on one Nitro. Just have them all line up on the stage and go, go get the baddies! That's the creative currently going forward. I remember reading about this a couple of times, how the plan was just to bring back all these top tier baby faces in one fell swoop. We sadly won't get there.
Interesting to talk about like the very end of WWE when everyone's working their bollocks off.
Because they think like there's changing of the guard coming, so therefore they all want to prove that they're worth keeping on the books.
Yeah.
So there's all that going on as well.
It's in Jeff Jarrett's nice podcast, My World, he's talking about how like when Jerry Jarrett took over the Memphis based area and had a thing in for Kerry and Kevin Von Erich. Not only did they have to show up to when they were booked because they had a thing for no-showing events 30 minutes from their house, but it's like, yeah, you have to work as well. You're not getting paid. And apparently, there was one time he went and, didn't put that much effort in, and he realised, oh, I didn't get paid for this. I see. So next time he came in, the description met the Observer said something like, Kerry worked harder than he had done in 3 years.
Bless him putting the effort in.
Yeah. No, and he can't just,
phone it in. Mike Tyson is coming to New Japan, except he's not coming to New Japan.
Go on.
New Japan gained some.
To me.
New Japan gained some headlines this week with a surprise announcement, which apparently has little in the way of validity, that Mike Tyson was negotiating to do a mixed match in the summer, made by Antonio Inoki, of course.
For there we go. Ding, ding, ding. There's the bullshitometer.
The announcement was made at the 18th of February pay-per-view from Tokyo Sumo Hall. Inoki, after the sixth match of the show, came out with a fax letter from Michael Smith, an attorney for Tyson, claiming that earlier this morning, negotiations had got underway for a match with Tyson against a Japanese pro wrestler. However, Sherry Finkel, Tyson's agent, the following day denied any negotiations were taking place.
Again, Bruce Pritchard's thought about this. Like, Conrad would be reading something like, chat me up, Bruce. It says here that you and people behind, or Dream Stage Entertainment, scheduled to be doing organizing a Dewey versus Pride show soon, or a tour of events. What happened with that? Why didn't it happen? Bruce's like, what are you talking about? Do you understand that a lot of the Japanese press and media is built up by them talking bullshit and hoping you go, yeah, that sounds good, we'll do that. And I thought, that's just silly by Brucey P. I think it's one of the few things Brucey P says that's like, actually, yeah, I think he's got a lot of validity to that. Inoki, Nelson, Mike Tyson. By even taking with him.
Mate, yep. I get the feeling sometimes that we do this podcast that we are somehow rewiring history.
It's when you look back at it and go, oh, that was bollocks.
Because, no, it's
that's,
more...
That's Terry Taylor. It's more, that's Jericho.
It's a bit of that.
Allegedly.
It is a bit of that, allegedly, a bit of that. It's a bit of that, but also...
Terry Taylor's confirmed.
Like, we've talked about stuff like that have just come up in casual conversation that all of a sudden becomes part of the flow.
Yeah.
I mentioned this. This week in The Observer, there's a long bit about Trevor McDonald.
You warned me about this.
News at 10's Trevor McDonald.
Wait, when's that on?
News at when? And we talked about how Trevor McDonald, the host of the News at 10, and we've just kind of made fun of this whole idea, like the News at 10 keeps moving around this day in history. Trevor McDonald is talked about in the Wrestling Observer newsletter. We had no idea this was coming up. Like, I read the Observer week for week for this podcast. We've talked about Trevor McDonald for weeks. And all of a sudden, Dave Meltzer's talking about Trevor McDonald. I think we're rewriting history.
Do you think the schedule was so erratic that it ended up missing the allotted slot? Ended up in the Observer. The first line from McDonald, why am I here?
Why am I here? So from the Observer, ITV in England ran a lengthy wrestling piece on its Tonight with Trevor McDonald highly rated primetime current events show. Meltzer's talking about Trevor McDonald. My head feels sick.
Highly rated. So he's getting his news from Trevor McDonald.
Trevor McDonald. The focus was on the effect of pro wrestling on kids. Two cases were brought up in the US, the much talked about Lionel Tate Tiffany Eunuch murder in Florida and the Jason Wheeler case in Yakima. WA is...
What?
UA? Is WA Washington?
Yeah.
Okay. The one heavily pushed in court TV specials in the US. They brought up some incidents in the UK, focusing mainly on David Vale, a backyard wrestler who lost the sight in one eye for 3 days from a kick to the face, and another who suffered a broken neck. They had a study placing three young children...
Difference between those two injuries.
Slight difference. Bad eye, broken neck. They had a study placing three young children in front of the TV in a room with a hidden camera, and the kids were then told pro wrestling
GTV.
Was... This is where GTV was meant to go. The kids were told that pro wrestling was fake and all acting. They then aired the Triple H versus Mick Foley Hell in a Cell match from last February. Within minutes, the kids started fighting, and one of the kids powerbombed another.
That's bullshit. There wasn't a powerbomb in that match. Stupid kids.
Got 5 stars in the dome.
Kids like, ah, pedigree looks a bit convoluted. I'll just powerbomb you.
Schrodinger's kids. Will they powerbomb each other when no one's watching? A psychologist watching stated that at first it was normal childhood roughhousing, but then said some of the moves they were doing were alarming and the kids didn't realise they were hurting each other. Chris Cruz was shown in a clip criticising the negative
Chris
values
Cruz?
Portrayed to children when they idolised Steve Austin and The Rock.
What are you doing here?
It gets better. UK promoter Brian Dixon.
Oh, God.
was on the show saying he puts on good family orientated shows.
I can hear the voice.
I've got
don't took wrong with this.
I've got a team here. It's the kids of Dom Billington, the legacy of the British Bulldogs. We're going to call them the Dynamic Duo. Really?
We're gonna name a tag team. Influenced by a team from the 80s to something from the 60s.
Mate, like, Brian, Billington Bulldogs was right there.
The Dynamic Duo. The Wigan Miners. Because they were young.
We call them the Wigan Miners. Come out with little hats on and lights. Like Mario Pycross. Anyway, so Brian Dixon says...
We're looking for gold. Now we want the gold round our waist.
So Brian Dixon puts on good family-orientated shows. The show ended saying there was going to be a study looking at the effect of pro wrestling on television that will be published in the UK in March. Channel 4, which broadcasts Heat, is going to be more heavily monitoring the violence content on the show.
Okay. On the wrestling show that they are in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just like Trevor getting a nod in The Observer. It's good, that, isn't it?
It is great.
Mm. A little bit of notes on this week's episode of SmackDown before you get into it. Just a little nod to something. Is that my notes as well? Yes, it is. Excellent. Just sorting my notes out from all of that.
Or page of notes from Tom, my phone.
Kind of an ECW sort of invasion of this episode of SmackDown, because Rhino debuted in a dark match, beating Bo Dub. So Bo's on the way out. Didn't use a gore. Used a form of a diamond cutter as his finish. I guess whether they like Edge does a spear, don't do a spear, but then they just went, just do a gore.
I'm glad they changed their mind on that. I mean, there is something about mixing it up and stuff, but.
Just Incredible had his first TV match on Sunday Night Heat. This may not air in the US, maybe just for Heat internationally, because Heat may be done live in Vegas. This is ahead of No Way Out.
So
I think this was a match that was taped for the UK and TV and stuff. Maybe it was on Metal. Maybe it was on Jacked.
Such an insult, isn't it? You're not even good enough to be on the international edition of Heat.
or as it's now known, NXT UK. That's mean. I like NXT UK. I like it.
You're kissing down to them.
I kiss. I still like kissing them. Another person whose finisher was changed for his match.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they don't get Just Incredible to do the tombstone.
Of course not. So he's doing an Arn Anderson gourd buster as a finish. He really felt very...
Should a SmackDown 1 traitor wrestler but not earned the good moves yet.
A gourd buster. Does anyone know the way? There's got to be a way to gourd buster. Those are my notes from from beforehand and the world.
You went from his finish. That's incredible. To that was crap.
That's underwhelming.
That's not just the best.
That's barely credible.
That's just international Heat.
That's not the best. That's just all right.
It's just there.
That's just there. Yeah.
Speaking of just there, there's SmackDown.
Yay!
Just there.
Witty woo.
Where witty wee witty woo. Of note, though, they've added the Big Show with the steam coming off his head from the Raven Hardcore match 2 weeks ago at the intro, because it looks cool as hell.
Looks amazing, doesn't it?
He's hot. He's hungry. He's the Big Show. We're 72 hours away from No Way Out. It's Kansas City tonight. Kane, The Rock, Undertaker versus Team Eck, Edge, Christian, and Kurt. No DQ. Ooh. Also, Jim Ross has been ordered to interview Austin Triple H in the ring tonight. What could possibly go wrong? Kurt Angle opens the show, looking apprehensive and focused, and other big words. Potentially the last time we get to see the Coach Gear title outfit on SmackDown, which I've checked. There's been no, deluxe action figure model.
What? Disgraceful.
We can have every crappy Triple H WrestleMania entrance done as a figure, but we can't have Coach Gear Angle.
Disgusting.
I wouldn't buy it.
Disgusting. I would.
Angle has taken the page out of Edge Christian's book and wants to take a moment with his title. The crowd chants, Angle sucks. He says, no, that's not what you're thinking. You're thinking, duh, grab your camera, honey. That photo will be worth something. Last time, Angle's going to be seen with his title. Woohoo! I think not, says Angle. You'd have to make your money some other way, like delivering newspapers or giving blood.
To which Jerry Lawler went, you can give blood? What a weird thing to say. Yeah.
You can give blood?
You can give blood?
Kurt Angle's beating the so-called odds and retaining his title. Angle says the countdown is on for my reign. Okay, Casey Kasem.
Yes!
Jesus Christ, the reference is so old, you need to cut it in half and count the rings. Oh, and then speaking of Casey Kasem...
I love the Casey Kasem references.
Not my crap segue for once. They say, speaking of Casey Kasem, the WWF Volume 5 comes out this week with a big picture of The Rock on the front with a pie.
Oh, no.
Angle wants to listen to The Rock's debut recording. I've put here, oh, God, no. We get footage of The Rock recording it, but, of course, half of it is cooked. It's about him eating pie. However... very sadly, The Rock doing the bit where he goes, The Rock enjoyed it so much, he was speaking Chinese, and he does his
Just a Chinese.
His rock circa 2001 impression of a Chinese person left intact. This audio clip was supposed to entice people to buy the album. It cuts to Angle saying, what the freaking heck was that?
I think we're all thinking it in 2022.
That's who you want as the next champ, says Angle. Crowd cheers. Yeah, well, you guys worship George Brent, a cheater and a known hemorrhoid sufferer. I didn't Google who he was. I just left it at that because I thought it was funnier not knowing.
I'm going to Google. I'm going to Google George Brent.
Angle is mad because he knows The Rock wasn't actually talking about pie. Was he? As a kid, I thought he was talking about pie. I still, to this day, do not see how that is a euphemism for that. I've never looked at a pie and thought, hmm, you know what I'm thinking of there? Anyway, Angle then plays Metal, which plays over clips of Angle beating up Rock. Metal is, of course, Kurt Angle's theme. Angle goes to speak, but he goes, you know what? That was so good. We should see it that. We should see it again. And we do. And the crowd chant, knows this, you suck, in sync to the theme.
Yes!
Way before Edge did it.
Yeah, and I can't remember whether this sticks around.
I think it doesn't, and then Edge brings it back, but that could be completely wrong. We'll have to wait and see. Kurt Angle says that No Way Out, he'll be singing another tune. The Rock will be singing another tune, I should say. The I Just Got Beat by the Brahma Bull Blues. If you smell what the champ is cooking. Kurt Angle ruled here. Who's the hemorrhoid sufferer?
George. Well, the only George Brent I can find is an actor from like the 60s. Which would be...
Which is still more up-to-date than Casey Kasem.
George Brent, an Irish-American stage, film, and television actor, best remembered for the 11 films he made with Bette Davis, including Jezebel and Dark Victory.
Right, but did he do any adverts?
He did adverts for Preparation H.
Hey, we can. There's the arse.
So there you go. Like I think it's the same. Like it's that same energy as Pele doing the erection problems adverts. Bless him. Yeah, pie ages like... Well, like a pie would. Do you think, like, The Rock's been in conversation a lot over the last 7 days.
Uh-huh.
Because he initially came out in support of Joe Rogan. And then people said, well, Joe Rogan's quite racist sometimes. And Rock retracted his support of Joe Rogan after learning more. And this led to people kind of finding little clips of The Rock... from his wrestling days. And I would just live in fear of the sheer amount of stuff that we watch on a weekly basis and just think, oh, if people share this with the wrong intention.
Oh, yeah, you could do a good mixtape of The Rock's worst moments.
Oh, you really...
Rock, what do you think of the Chinese?
Oh, gee, yeah, and this...
You want to make sure you never do a Fast and Furious film ever again. We'll show that.
I wonder whether
Rock, I was going to say, Rock did this. This is the period where, you know, it's, again, a lot has changed over the past 20 years.
It has. This is 20 years old, let's
Yeah, context is king. Joe Rogan was saying that stuff like a month ago.
Yeah, there is that as well.
Hey, I don't get the argument. All Rock has to do is like the ICP and go, yeah, we used to say these things back in the day, and then we learned a lot of our fans are like this, and then we'd be mortified.
I really liked ICP's message about that. I thought, yeah. How are you the only people getting that right? Like hitting that right, because there is some like cancel culture is very much a thing. It's a buzzword. It's a buzzword.
I don't like that term.
Do you not? What would you?
It's a term conservatives use.
Yeah, but the idea
you're drinking the Pacini juice.
But the idea of cancel culture is very much out there. I'm not saying whether or not I believe it, but I know that there is the idea that people like actions will be pulled up, and there's. How do I phrase it? It's a
bitch. I need to do a few drafts of it before I start saying it.
It's a minefield.
I'm aware that your consequences can have actions.
Yeah, consequences. Yeah, you know, consequences to things that you say do have actions, and they should be dealt with as and when. It would own like the. I think The Rock has done a lot of good in the world, personally.
Yeah.
And I think there's a. But that does it excuse him from
Welcome to the Jungle?
I mean, not all good. but I would wonder how... I wonder if... The reason I'm mentioning it is I wonder if people like The Rock have kind of got a, in case of emergency, break glass type thing prepared. Should old clips be pulled up and...
This is what I mean, though. This is like again, today. We're going on a real deep end thing, but I think I'll say this and we'll try and lovingly move on.
Yes, please.
But that's what I'm saying is it's people. I think some people get the idea of like, oh, you said something bad 20 years ago. Well, that's it. You're done. You're through. You're finished. It's like, no. I have to go is look. Yeah, you're right. I did say that. It was a different time. I forget his name, but the guy who did Bow Selector went, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have been doing, I should have been blacking up as Craig David and everybody else on a regular basis. I regret it. And I think they stopped. They don't play proper Crimbo anymore during Christmas.
No.
Which is a bit of a shame because it's one of the all right songs. But I can obviously see his appeal. They're going, like, yeah, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Sorry about it. Like that, people got that. They don't like, I said something wrong once and that's it. I was shot by lasers immediately afterwards. It's like, no, just like, apologise, admit it, moan up and try not to do it again.
To be fair, Lee Francis has
Lee Francis, thank you.
He served his time because he did a sitcom with Amanda Holden. So I think he's been punished enough.
What was that?
Don't worry about it. It's not very good.
Why am I asking? Yeah, I don't care.
It's not very good.
I'm like, wow, tell me. I'm like, I have no interest in...
No.
But anyway, I think, again, this could be like a thing we're going off.
It's got to be Kane.
I think it's... people are like, can you just say a Kane joke called Mock Test? Oh, my God. Don't have a freaking Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan, what are you doing here?
He's still doing Fear Factory at this... Fear Factory.
Fear Factory? What are you doing here?
He's playing bass. Sorry. Fear Factor at this point. Doing a theme for No Way Out. Anyway, carry on. Oh, it's me doing this.
It's you doing this.
Beg your pardon. I was just getting distracted. A limo arrives, and also there's horses in the background.
Yes.
Is the assumption that it's there to pick up a horse or drop off a horse? Can you fit a horse in a limo?
I put it down to like us being near some stables. I mean, it is. It's foreshadowing.
It's foreshadowing. There's a limo coming up. Hey, look, there's a horse shitting. All right. Also, speaking of foreshadowing, Austin is getting a coffee.
Can we talk about the very wasteful way that he makes a coffee?
Wait. Before that, he throws an empty cup in the bin after making his coffee. And then Cole says, wow, he's not in a good mood.
What would he have done if he was? Recycled it.
Gives his coffee cup a stunner. Turn out, you Zumba bitch.
It's a very wasteful way to make a coffee.
He puts... Go on, Tom. I think
so, yeah,
right.
So he has one cup and he puts a sugar in and he pours the coffee in. Then he takes another paper cup, pours it into the other cup and then chucks the original cup away. Yeah. I think that's meant to replicate the act of stirring. But surely there are stirrers there.
You know what? It looked like he was doing the Die Hard 3. What a puzzle. Listen to me very carefully.
That's right.
Listen to me very carefully, McLean. Three. I can't remember. I used to know it off by heart.
Perfect. Balanced lovely.
Just Joe goes to make a coffee afterwards, explodes.
Mm. Anyway. We get a clip of Raw here.
Raw, Austin stunned Steph. That doesn't sound like Austin. Oh, backstage, Steph is there holding her neck and reminds Triple H to not attack Austin or he'll get suspended. Triple H says if that's the case and he'll get suspended, he might as well take out Austin for good. So Triple H is like, all right, if I'm going to get suspended, I might as well kill Austin.
How much has Stephanie's resilience improved whilst we've been doing this podcast? Because in 1999, she got a bin to the face. And she missed months and a wedding. She took a stunner on Monday. She's fine today.
Anytime she got a hit, she had to amnesia. Yeah.
She keeps forgetting. Andrew? Oh, for God's sake, we've gone back too far.
When did I marry you?
She wakes up and goes, the bulldog hit me. Oh, no, we've gone back.
Triple H keeps on punching her until she remembers.
Bulldog? Tess? Andrew? Bulldog?
Albert?
Andrew? Albert?
Honey? Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Kane?
Linda?
Boy RD?
Jeff
and Lita show up with clips of Matt Hardy bonking Dean Malenko with a chair so Lita can win and end this stupid feud. Oh, but then Matt Hardy kisses Lita afterwards. It was the heat of the moment. So it's confused. Matt's like, oh, sorry about that. And then... Lita goes, no, I'll come back here. Kisses him back.
Yeah.
It's tonsil hockey time.
this is their real life relationship coming to the front. They've been dating since January 1999. Oh. They met at an NWA Mid-Atlantic show, and they just hit it off. And
probably
they
started dating.
Yeah, that's it. So I feel like, so all the time, like, she was in the corner of S.A. Rios, her and Matt were an item.
Yeah.
So that's cute. I like the fact that it's now on the telly.
Remember that
and
night?
And it'll never go wrong.
They're like, yeah, remember that night we hooked up and, you know, Mike Rapata was taking on Chris Harris, who'd be going to become Braden Walker much later on. We were so bored, we thought we'd make out. Yeah, well, that's a beautiful relationship. Mike Rapata getting shrapnel. Anyway, tonight it's Jeff Hardy versus Rikishi in the only singles match ever, like a final cage match. By the way, Mike Rapata, I bring him up because he was a guy, one of the many people who allegedly bought his NWA world title reign.
Oh, really? He said, can I be the champ? Like the most expensive cameo you've ever known. I'd like to be the NWA champion.
Yeah, back then in 2000, you could have done it with a change in your pocket. It's not enough money for a hoagie. Rikishi's theme, Bad Man, is now on volume 5. I remember it being an alright song, but it's not kind of here, Rikishi. I remember the kids at my school going, have you heard Rikishi trying to rap?
Oh.
Even then, kids were like, you can't rap. Anyway, Jeff avoids Rikishi's ass and then uses his agility to land a standing flipping leg drop on Rikishi's hard ass head. Lita pervs over Lita for a... What? Lita pervs over Lita for a bit. That's not right. Maybe she's looking herself in the mirror thinking, damn, I look good. Man, I'm pretty. 1, 2, 3. We're advised Matt isn't here because he took a headbutt from Rikishi and a Tonga death grip on Raw, hence why this match is happening.
Oh, all right.
Could show clips of that, I guess. But Rikishi dodges a whisper in the wind before using the ass to beat Jeff clean. Post-match, he goes to deliver another ass, but Lita tries to go up top. Rikishi sees her from across the ring and then asses her until Matt Hardy runs out to save her. I dare you to kiss her now, Matt, squeals Lawler.
Lawler would.
You never go ass to mouth. yeah, this sets up a match. They expect to be at No Way Out.
Liked Jeff Hardy in this singles bit here.
Yeah.
Future WWE champion Jeff Hardy mixing it up with the heavyweights. Yeah. And I wonder whether part of this was a little testing of the water with a Jeff Hardy singles run. Also, you know, I know that the Bros is pretty pagged. So maybe they're just going, look, is there anybody here that we can elevate? And, you know, maybe at this point they were thinking Jeff Hardy could be the guy. They were thinking more that for Jeff than Matt, unfortunately.
Yeah. That might be alternate. You know, you get, like, you have your own SmackDown, you have it on pay-per-view. And everyone's knackered at this point. It's so funny.
Yeah, this is such
it's not funny, but it's like we're at the hottest period in wrestling, nearly. Or one of the hottest periods, obviously there's been others, but it's like, yeah, everyone's dead, Dave. Somebody's not dead though. Ah, William Regal.
Yay!
Who backstage tells Trish she looks ravishing. Kurt Angle shows up and thanks her for being in his corner. So The Rock doesn't have any excuses. Sorry, that's horribly written. Angle shows up and says, look, I appreciate you being in my corner all these times, but I don't want you in my corner anymore. I don't want The Rock to have any excuses when I beat him at No Way Out. So thanks, but bye.
Thanks,
Trish is like,
no thanks.
Oh, and before she gets a chance to react, Regal remarks, splendid. That means you can accompany me in my matches starting tonight. Trish declines as she has something else to attend to and walks off with Angle nudging Regal and saying, hey, she likes you. And then Regal goes, I know.
Oh,
beautiful little comedy. And it's nice because they actually resolved that. So I'm like, yeah, what's Trish doing here? She can't be doing that thing with Kurt and the thing with Regal and the thing with Vince.
They actually acknowledge. They actually clear some of her schedule. She's so good, like everybody wants to do bits with
her. She's starting fights with everybody.
Yeah.
She's like Italy in World War II.
Sad that she never became William Regal's full-time crumpet, though. That was
The dynamic between the two would have been amazing.
Full-time crumpet.
My favourite strumpet.
A crumpet.
There are many others, but this one is mine. Anyway, No Way Out has the edge in Christian versus Duds versus Kane tables match because they're all fooked, I've put here. So on Raw, Edge and Christian set up the Dudleys in the parking lot and then had some guy inform Undertaker that the Duds are messing with the Undertaker's bike. So they brawled amongst each other until Edge and Christian were then able to sneakily nail Kane with a concerto. Oh, that is not cool, Kane.
No, this is stupid Kane.
This is stupid Kane.
Stupid Kane's been swapped in.
Cool Kane would have known.
What you do? Oh, God.
Cool came to go, I don't give a shit about your bike.
hey, brother, oh, they hit my bike. Okay.
Let me ride it then. I'm no. saving it. I'm looking after it.
No, you can't ride it. You just have to help me get it back.
No, it's mine.
This stupid cane going, but who will I have a backy off to get home? I'm on my way.
I think this is the exact moment. Cool Cane's like, what's happening? Gets hit, bunk. Oh no!
This is where Cool
Cane. I'm stupid
oh,
again!
Oh no, this is where it happens.
Yeah.
Where Cool Cane becomes Stupid Cane again.
Yeah. We had Cool Cane falling off the apron, not going through a table, going, I don't give a shit, getting up, jokes, I'm an education last week. Now it's like, oh, parking lot, so safe to me.
My favorite color is 7. Oh no. So are we saying that Cool Cane and Stupid Cane were the same person, but with one with head trauma?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a development of the camera.
It's the angle they want to do with Moppy.
Yeah.
Moppy would have been the powerbomb Perry got smarter.
That'd be brilliant.
So I was wearing glasses to denote he's clever Perry.
Suddenly, as you powerbomb him, as he rolls back up, he's wearing glasses. Mm. They powerbomb him again, the glasses are gone.
Yeah, the months. My God, I figured it out. I can get myself a WWE title shot but having doing any effort, they powerbomb again. Hey, I'm Perry.
Let us write wrestling. For God's sake. Let us write wrestling.
No, powerbomb him one more time. No, we're done. Oh, come on.
Come on, give me another powerbomb.
Nah, mate. Terry hitting with objects. What are you doing? Damn it, I'm not strong enough.
That's just changing his language. French, German, Linda.
Por favor. It's like adjusting a TV aerial.
Achtung, bang. Olé, bang. Oh no, I jam you. Bang.
Perry Sutton loved it so much, he was speaking Chinese. Oh no, 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 you'll get cancelled later on. No, Perry, don't do it.
Don't do it, Perry. Don't do it, Perry. Is Perry Sutton all right? In general?
No, he got hit loads.
No, not tonight, but in general.
Oh no, no, he's nowadays he's like... massively suffering from CTE.
Yeah, last time I saw him on Facebook, it made me really sad. Because like
he says he walks into rooms and forgets why he's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, God love him.
Yeah.
God love Perry Saturn.
Sorry, you bring it down to reality, yeah.
He was great though at this, but he was great at this point. I always preach
about... Hey, we've said enough good things about Perry.
Yeah, I just think just you know, we'll see him in a minute.
He's wrestler Al Snow wishes he was. Anyway, the Dudleys are interviewed by Kevin Kelly. It's going to be a tables match on their way out. And they're like, well... Wait, why? What did you guys do to have you guys be put in a tables match with the Dudleys? Bubba tells Undertaker that they're moving into Undertaker's yard as some way of saying, yeah, you don't live in a yard, stupid.
I liked that promo, though, because it started off as them going, somebody
else. Yeah, it started off really good. Like, wait, that's our match.
Yeah, and it's almost, and by the end of it, it's like, well, no, it's clearly Undertaker and Kane are being punished because they're facing us. And I liked how that twisted.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like they were being punished, and then by the end of it, they're like, no, this is a punishment for Undertaker and Kane because they're in our match. Like, I like that. Bringing the Dudleys up there. I liked it. I like seeing the Duds mixed up with Undertaker and Kane.
No, the Dudley's going, hey, Undertaker, throwing rocks at the window. What? He goes, we're in your yard. All right, just shut the curtains.
Devon's having a shit.
Quick, come in, it's raining. Coach talks to Jim Ross.
Kane comes out the front door wearing an apron. Get away, kids! I know your dad!
Go away. Perry's working on another serum. Anyway, Coach talks to JR, who is forced to talk to Undertaker and Austin tonight. What? To triple. Wow. Matthew typing us up fast sometimes sucks. Undertaker's like, yeah. He's like, no, what are you doing here, you doofus?
Can I be in this promo?
Anyway, JR is just like, yeah, well, I don't want to have to do this, but I'm going to do it. And I have absolutely no
pragmatism. JR basically saying, I don't like it, but I'll have to go along with it.
I know what's going to happen, guys. And Coach's like, yeah, I know it's coming to you as well. I'm like, I know. Trish goes to see someone in a limo and speaks sexy to her, to them. Him or her, we don't see. Ooh, can't wait for that. We get the 2000 edition of Don't Try This at Home video.
Is this the first time?
No, we've seen it before, but like featuring clips of Farouk as Nation of Domination Farouk from like 97.
It is, isn't
it? Yeah, the hat.
Yeah.
Like, how old are these clips?
They're old clips.
So great.
It's the first time I remember seeing it on SmackDown.
We've definitely seen it earlier, but it's like, wait, what are these clips? Because they're the really good ones where it's on that, like, again, shot in 97, we're in like one warehouse. They got a lot of mileage from. Cactus doing that little sexy smirk and everything. Nature Domination Farouk's like, wait, hang on.
I still remember it word for word.
Oh, go on.
I've been a professional for 18 years, 6.5 years, 9 years. It takes a lot of time training to do what I do. Still having incurred countless injuries, bumps and broken bones, bumps and bruises. The danger is always there. The danger is always there. The fear is always there. Don't be a bonehead. Don't be a clown. Please don't try this at home. Please don't try this at home. Don't try this at home. Please leave the danger to us.
That's the Trevor McDonald.
So now I'm Trevor McDonald. Did they leave the danger to them?
To Trevor McDougal.
That little wry smile by Mick at the end.
Yeah. Please, don't try this at home. Even though I literally got hired because I jumped off my roof.
I've been a professional for 15
for
years.
6.5 years. 9 years.
It's taken a lifetime of training to do
what I do.
Still, I've incurred countless injuries,
stitches,
bumps and bruises.
The danger is always there.
The danger is always there.
Fear is always there.
Fear is always there.
Don't be a bonehead.
Don't be a clown.
Don't try this at home.
Please don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home.
Please leave the danger to us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Back to the limo, and they clearly really enjoyed that advert because the windows are fogged up from all the sex.
They're doing a sex.
All right, don't try that at home.
Don't try a sex at home.
Please.
Unless it's with someone you care about.
Get a limo, pull up to the stables, and you can do what you like.
Yeah,
anyway.
Doing a sex in the limo.
Speaking of sex, a limo.
We think it's Vince and Trish.
Yeah, that's
we haven't seen Vince.
We can feel his presence.
So can Trish.
Here's Hardcore Champion Raven.
Yay.
With Stacker 2, WWF the Volume 5, and Chef Boyardee Beef Ravioli. I can still taste the juice, and it's been weeks.
We've got another jar. We've got another tin to go, yeah.
Is that a punishment video in the making?
Maybe.
Next time Pacitti's doing Hell in a Smell, just drop the tin unopened on his head.
Smack it around his head. Bang.
Oh!
Linda.
Now I'm Labour Pacitti.
Lib Dem Green.
Yeah. Ow. Raven sits down to commentate with Jerry Lawler, a.k.a. the heel commentary team from 93.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Crash Holly with Giant Pop and, oh my God, it's a new kiss of death, the SmackDown shirt.
Oh,
that's a rare.
That is a special kiss of death, that is. Not just a WWF shirt, but plugging the telly show that you're on. Would you say it is worse for a wrestler to wear a logo shirt, a Raw and or SmackDown shirt, or a pay-per-view shirt?
that is still the company one.
Yeah.
Because at the very least you can go, oh, that's good. That's brand awareness. Oh, pay-per-view coming up. That's Tommy Dreamer's thing because he's so fat you can, you know, share a film a movie theater on his titty. A movie theater. Well done, Matthew.
You can film a movie theater.
I forgot the expression.
Did you get a powerbomb the other day?
Because I heard it on AW and I went, no one, who's airing films?
Well, cinema, surely.
Yeah, but, oh, you fucking piece of shit. Like the drive-in movie theaters was supposed to be referenced to. I'm doing a horrible job of this, aren't I?
You're doing a lovely job,
go on, Matthew,
mate.
Dig the hole even bigger and deeper.
Big fan.
SmackDown shirt. Not the new kiss of death. The hug of death with a little nibble of the ear. The winner of this match gets Raven at No Way Out. So it's a big schmoz as entrants come quick like the Rumble 95. Perry Saturn is here. Yay. As they still don't know if he's hardcore or Euro Division. Blackman appears. And this is going to be a giant mess. Yes, it is, Matthew, from a week ago. Saturn lands the three-handled yada, yada, yada. But Crash kicks out of it. And no one calls it.
I was really surprised that Crash kicked out. Like, I thought we were getting this move over.
I don't know what's happened to this move. It's so weird. Kay Quick and Hardcore Holly appear with a giant pop, obviously. Big Show with renewed vigor then arrives. Crash dives off the top. And, of course, Show grabs him. Big Show press slams Saturn to the outside. Onto no one. Perry Saturn just eats shit there. Perry Saturn jumps up and goes, Eureka! Big Show punches a bin into Kate Quick's face. It's nowhere near as good as last week's.
No.
But in the highlight of the show pins Kate Quick. Crash tries to break up the pin by pulling Big Show's leg. Show ignores him, kicks him off, and just pins him.
That was fun. That was...
Crash is too small to break up a pin. Awesome.
That was a lovely use of Crash breaking up, or not breaking up the pin, as it were. Big Show just like stomping into the hardcore division, like Smaug into that village.
Yes.
Just obliterating everybody every time he's in there. He just constantly just dominates everybody. And he'll dominate the champion in the run-up to it as well, just in a few moments' time.
Yeah.
It's great.
Showing up like Mars Bar, bring up the structure of worlds. Yeah. Big Show then is attacked by Raven. Tries to smack Big Show with a stop sign, but Big Show no sells that. Raven is effed. Like Davey Boy in a certain moment. Joe walks to the ring to clarify it wasn't him in the limo.
We know it was. There'd be barbecue sauce dribbling down the windows.
Burn God! I'm slobbered her knockers. SmackDown 2 presents Austin Stunning Steph. It's 2001, baby! So JR heads out and gives the big old build-up before we get another big old build-up via video package. We all know this by now. Triple H, smartest man in the world, blah, blah, blah. He's the one who set up the Rikishi.
Did JR, just very quickly, again, like I don't know whether I remember this wrong. Is this the first time that JR comes out to the Oklahoma Fight song?
Oh, that's a good question. It's not often he shows up on TV.
No, it's so what I'm maybe, trying to think. This is the first time that maybe. We've seen it. It might be something that he's been doing when the cameras are off anyway.
It would have been great if they'd done the video package first. Says, you, Austin, I have to end you. Triple H, you son of a bitch. Has to end at No Way Out. Please welcome to the ring, Jim Ross.
That'd be brilliant. That would be wonderful.
Triple H reminds us how smart he is and reminds us he will break Austin's spirit in the first fall, his bones in the second. Triple H then reminds everyone of the stunner to Steph that we've only been shown 6 times tonight and pedigrees Jim Ross in revenge. Can you believe it? Austin chases him away, and this was a well put together segment that went on for a very long time, which sums up most Triple H segments.
Austin hurt the one that Triple H loves the most. Yeah, yeah. So it was only right that Triple H attack JR.
Yeah.
You hurt my lover, I will hurt yours. JR takes a lovely pedigree.
Please welcome the sacrificial lamb for tonight.
JR knew that was coming.
We all knew But you know what? It worked well. Good build-up.
Yeah.
And Austin's like, hey, come on. That guy likes me for some reason. We went hunting together. And there's months where I couldn't do anything.
If I was going after Steve Austin, I would kick the shit out of JR. I feel like that's the way to really really like get his gander. Get
Triple
his
H beat up Jim Ross a lot over the years, didn't he? He bloodied him on one episode.
I think maybe three occasions where he did. And obviously Rikishi is beating him up. Kane set him on fire. Good old JR. He's had a
good old JR.
Do we reckon MJF's gonna give him a clatter at some point?
I hope so.
And he's like, hey, what are you going to do about it? Well, nothing. None of us are really that connected to Jim Ross like Steve Austin was. So you do whatever you want to do.
That's right. I'm over like Piper in Portland, JR in Oklahoma, and just beats him up. Anyway, now it's Jericho and X-Pac teaming up for any speakable reasons to take on Eddie and Benoit. Why are they teaming up? Oh, it's a four-way at No Way Out with the IC title, which I remember being a really good match.
Yeah.
So, makes sense for them to do a little tag match here, even though Jericho and X-Pac do not like one another. Jericho beats up Benoit and then reluctantly tags in X-Pac by hip-tossing him into the ring.
Yeah.
The ring. The meringue, sorry. I don't know how to speak eventually.
Into the meringue.
Sorry. It's my third pod. Sorry. It'll be the first of three things I do today. So this is just a warm-up. This is cardio.
This podcast is truly cardio.
It certainly is. X-Pac uses his educated feet to take down Benoit, the best tech wrestler in the whole of WWF. I was clearly amused there by like, Benoit's so smart. X-Pac does the same kick he's done since 94.
Benoit stumbles into it.
Yeah. He misses a Bronco, allowing Eddie to tag in and batter Waltman like it's sold out 97. X-Pac tags in Jericho and distracts the ref so the Radicals can get their licks in. Y2J blocks a Frankensteiner, like how the good American police blocked his wife from taking over the car.
Christ! This is the first time you've absorbed what we do.
3, 2, 1. Allegedly.
Matthew tends to write these notes and then... and then I think he has that Men in Black thing where you wipe his own memory. Because you do read them like they've been prepared for you. But this is written by Matthew Craig.
It's like Norm MacDonald's notes to self bit. I'm reading it. Oh, that's what I said. X-Pac kids Jericho mid-line salt as he's grabbing the ropes.
That was good.
To allow Benoit to get the crossface for the win. Oh, then Eddie and X-Pac punch one another until teeny weeny, just incredible, low blows Eddie and then double superkick Benoit.
Incredible looks so small.
Even next to Benoit.
Yeah.
Like especially next to Benoit because he's jacked.
I think I said this last week on the podcast, but seeing Justin Incredible in ECW, like I genuinely thought he was about the same size as like a Steve Austin or The Rock. And then he's got here and I was like, oh my God. He's smaller than Benoit. He's smaller than all these guys. Yeah. God, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
I'm very worried for him. But I think... How close are we now to Albert getting in the mix? And one of the coolest
factions. He's not doing anything. It wasn't even in the hardcore thing. So it must be after... Were they out WrestleMania? Did X-Pac do anything at WrestleMania? I forget. I don't even tend to think about it. Although they're Sunday Night Heat, weren't they? Damn it.
They were on Heat before.
Yeah, they must have been.
They definitely got a match on Backlash.
Yeah.
Definitely got a match on Backlash.
Yeah, they got plenty of Backlash. Mm-hmm. Edge and Christian, bitch, backstage. I'll have to take on Kane Undertaker again. What's up with Kane no-selling everything, says Christian. What is he, some sort of big red machine?
What am I?
To which...
A big red machine?
To which The Rock appears and goes, no, he's a big red... Oh, we were going to inform you Spotify have taken down The Rock's pie.
He's a big red Chinese.
Fuck. Angle tells them to go back to being the cocky team he knows and love. Let's go out there and kick ass and leave No Way Out as champs together. Yeah.
It feels like...
Team Eck.
It feels like... I don't know if they didn't mean to, but I got the whole Blackadder over the top vibe about Angle and Eck going into The Rock, Undertaker and Kane match. Like, they're all... Good luck, everyone. Like, they're all so good and they're all going to get...
I like it because they can be wacky. But Kurt is like, no, I'm being a bit serious now.
Yeah.
Serious Kurt is here.
Serious Kurt. I like the energy of Serious Kurt.
A sneak preview of... You know, the wrestling machine that will know and love years later.
Oh, yes.
Because I remember, late 02, early 03, maybe even before that. And it was like, Triple H, I think, was off for a bit, or just come back and wasn't that good. Austin had left, Rock had left, Undertaker was maybe injured or something. And it was like, Kurt was just saying, you know, I'm like the best wrestler here, right? And he was like, yeah, you are. Yeah.
You are.
It's this weird reaction from the crowd, like, Yeah, you are really good, actually, aren't you?
They just sort of locked into the idea that Angle is actually a really good wrestler.
It's kind of happened, like, yeah, if he was a heel, it's like, yeah, but wow.
But he's brilliant.
Yeah. Ah, speaking of brilliant, it's the Cat versus Ivory in Cat's last match and nearly her last appearance. That'll be, again, something that we'll be recapping the Wrestling Observer intros in a few weeks' time. She's dressed as you'd expect the leader of the right to nudity to be dressed. Ivory takes some rough offense before swinging her via her hair. Ivory gets her in a scoop slam position, then spanks her while yelling at Lawler. She then dumps her with the Amityville Horror, Chris Chetty's finisher. So I guess she's not showing up then anytime soon. But she yells at Lawler while Kat rips her shirt off, or at least tries to. She's rubbish. Ivory's top comes off, and that brings out the right to censor, so Lawler has enough and goes to chair shot some good people before Stephen Richards sneak attacks Lawler with a Stephen kick while dressed as a security guard. Well, it won't be the first time Lawler's lost to some authority figures. And then all of Right to Censor get their finishes, which is one step above that Mean Street Posse match they had against Kai Dai.
I loved that! Yeah.
But we saw that, because I finished reading Pete Gass's book with people on stream, and it is the wrestling equivalent sometimes to Self-Esteem by The Offspring. Like, this one time, Undertaker and Kane were playing dominoes backstage. I got to hold the dominoes for them. It was a great moment just to be included. And you're like,
oh, man.
He left this in his book.
Oh, Pete.
You know, one time I was in the urinal, two urinals away from the rocks, pissing. It was great.
Oh, Pete.
Like that type of thing.
I feel bad for Pete. What do you mean for a Desert Island Grabs? I want to hear some of these really underwhelming stories.
Yeah, hey, Pete, what's the most underwhelming thing that's ever happened? Well, how long have you got?
Tell me all the underwhelming stories. We'll put them all in 1 5-hour podcast.
He does have one where, for some reason, he wanted to see. He was like, oh, I should be on a diet. And he just eaten at some, like, Wendy's. So I think the story was he made himself vomit on his own car hood. And then Rodney and the other ones showed up and goes, well, if you're doing it, I'm doing it.
For God's sake!
And like, Albert.
I want to play!
Albert and Test and like, Scotty, do you want? You know, there's like, well, what are you guys doing? And goes, all right, bleh. They don't own the car. Their own car. And then obviously they drove down the lunch watching it going, ah, it's flying off.
Stupid.
This is in his book.
Christ. Pete Gass, come do Desert Island Graps, mate. If you're listening, if you're watching, come to Desert Island Grabs. Let's get you on. Let's hear some of these stories. I want underwhelming, vomit-fueled stories from Pete Gass. It's got to be done. We'll make it happen.
That's got to be Pete.
I like the idea of them going, oh, you've been sick, I'll be sick as well.
Yeah. Anyway, all this sick of a car sets up a singles match between Stephen Richards and Lawler at No Way Out. Woohoo, can't wait. With Lawler led out by the authorities, or excuse me, the medics, Taz takes this opportunity to commentate.
Yay!
Yay!
Taz's music on WWF The Music Volume 5.
It is. It's a slightly remixed version.
It is. And if you listen, I think it's about like the last minute. And I remember listening to it in the car because I was the cool kid that had WWF The Music Volume 5 and a CD player. And it's like the last minute. There's Joey Styles commentary on it.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. There's Joey Styles doing commentary. And I was like, and it's from ECW. And it's on WWF The Music.
And what does he say? Is it like a mock?
Oh, he's just like putting over Taz. Like, Taz is the human suplex machine. He's the greatest.
So weird.
So good.
I don't think I never, like, I like these CDs, but like, here's the full version. I was like, I mean, full version.
Well,
some of them go on. All right. There's, fine. There's, but like, most of them are just like, no, it's just.
The Rock's version, I think on Volume 4, the Rock's full version, it has a bit near, like a minute before the end where the Rock comes in and goes, yeah. The Rock says you can take your CD, turn it sideways, yeah, and stick it straight up your candy ass. And there was an episode of Raw where they're obviously
playing. Wait, you could probably do that. Oh, sideways. Oh, maybe not. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
no, but no. That,
I mean,
that's how a CD's supposed to be, though. So sideways is that.
Take your CD.
That's probably the most easily inserted thing he's ever said.
Are you suggesting then that you could quite happily put a compact disc in your anus?
Well, compared to all the other stuff he's wanted to shove up my ass.
Yeah, but we're not comparisoning.
I am. And what about isms about The Rock's ass?
I'm not here to conversate. Not comparisoning. Okay, so coming soon on the Patreon, Matthew is going to willingly put a compact disc up his ass. Because apparently that's easy.
Easier. easier than like, hey, you could stick a greyhound coach up your ass sideways, as if that'll help, Rock.
Thank God you said coach, because if you'd said put a greyhound up your ass...
No, God.
You'd have got cancelled.
And why am I saying that? Why? Because it's the Greyhound Slam of the Week. Wait,
with the dog what? In the suit.
Yeah, like, get it? Greyhound. It's actual Greyhound in the suit.
An actual Greyhound riding, talking. Like, on the coach.
Reporting for, like, Greyhound News. Some absurd thing. Some fever dream. Yeah, it's Test beating Regal for the European title. And apparently two moves. That's when Regal was effed.
Yeah, he was...
Take a shot every time, by the way. Someone's effed on the roster.
It was a hernia, I think he had. But they kept him onto a real quick bit in the Rumble. And then they had a Test beat him real quick to get the belt off him. And he's just been not really wrestling for a little while. And tonight he's back in the ring. Hernia all sorted. Get back out there and fight Test. You lucky thing.
Who were wrestling? Test. Oh, me hernia's playing up again.
Oh, me bloody hernia.
Oh.
Me bloody hernia's playing up again.
I got it from sat on a Greyhound bus for 8 hours. Anyway. Willie. You like that?
I did, yeah, it's funny.
Willie sells for Test for a bit. He takes a sweet gut wrench powerbomb for two. But while Regal makes his comeback, Al Snow with a commissioner shirt arrives to throw buttons in the crowd. So last week, Al Snow went to Foley's house and was like, hey, you should come back and work really hard. And Foley's like, I don't want to come back. He's like, I got beat up for nothing. He goes, nah, how about this? How about you're the commissioner? So I was like, I'm the commissioner. And this is him campaigning to be commissioner, I guess. Because he's got the commissioner. Like, Foley's funny shirt which says commish, but it runs out of space and the
just kind of comes down the side. Yeah, like, it? And he's throwing badges into the crowd.
He's throwing badges.
Did anybody get a commissioner badge from Al Snow? I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah. How else could we hear Al Snow? Is he on some sort of YouTube show that you do?
He is on a recent episode of Desert Island Grabs.
Is he?
Where he talks about his time working in OVW, love for the UK, and whole bunch of... Thanks for the enthusiasm.
Sorry.
So that's fine, it's fine.
Hey, former European champion. It's got to be.
Former European champion. He's a lovely man as well. Big fan of Prodigy.
Oh, good.
Loves Prodigy.
Of course, he came out to... Exhale.
That's good. The one.
It's a good song, though. Sometimes I need to listen to it to get reminded. Regal is not impressed with the sight of Al Snow. Probably wondering why he's back to feuding with him. Like, hang on, I did this last year.
Am I stuck in a vortex?
Test misses a big boot, and Willie beats him before getting distracted by Snow's ringside shenanigans. Taking a shot from Head, who was secretly in the big bag of badges. I'm actually saying that out loud. I'm very happy. And this allows Test to retain after a shot from the Head. There was a lot going on in the division with nothing going on.
Yeah, like, I don't know why they decided to make Test the European champion. Because I don't know whether they're trying to reheat him again.
Yeah.
It feels weird.
It's an expression about... shutting the barn doors after the horse had escaped.
Test still looks good.
Dude, him and Christian had that sweet match a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
he can be good, but it's like, yeah, but can you make him not look like a bum?
I mean, there is that. There is that. But alas. Alas and alack.
Who could he have teamed with for a pun? It was TNA with him and Albert. Regal and him could have been Rat. Rat.
Let me think. Test.
It's harder than it looks, folks.
It is, isn't it? It is Test. Test. No, that wouldn't work.
Test and Saturn, because then it could have been Test and Perry Go Large.
Test match special.
Oh. Oh. Why am I the special pick? You took a powerbomb, remember? Oh, right, yeah. That gimmick, yeah.
That's it.
You couldn't do that nowadays. You're right, Perry, because you can't wrestle. And Test is dead.
Hit us up at Matthew Gregg, at Tom Campbell on Twitter.
Damn it. What have I done?
Your Test tag team puns. We'll read the best ones next week during No Way Out Watch Along. During Matthew. The Watch Along of No Way Out 01, we'll read out your best Test tag team puns.
Yeah.
The best ones. Some of the worst ones.
Really not the best ones.
Some of the worst ones.
All the crap ones.
At Tom Campbell on Twitter, at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. Send us your Test tag puns. We'll read them out. and Matthew will block every single one of you.
Yeah. This is a test, but we're talking about going away.
Go away.
What I like is...
like 3 days later, I'm like, what are you talking about?
What I like is there's like a few people have reached out to me who just discovered the podcast relatively recently.
Oh, yeah, I've had a few people on Twitter.
And I'll get a tweet from them and it will say, yeah, green.
Yeah.
I'll say, sorry, in the podcast... can you add a bit more? Sorry, I've just started watching. I'm on episode 5. Okay, now I know what you're talking about. Context is always... if you are listening to the older episodes, it's a bit pointless telling you this now, but context is always good. It's greatly appreciated because I love talking about the older episodes, but do hit me with a bit of context. Because I barely remember what we talked about last week, let alone what we did on this podcast in episode 12.
It'd be great. It's like, we should have said, if you listen to this week's podcast, send a thing saying, Matthew, you suck. Oh, no, that's if you listen to the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast. You'd be deserved to say that.
You can do that. Then.
No arguments there. Stephanie sees the footage of Trish doing something in a limo and goes to sort her out because it must be Vince McDad. The Dudleys appear and spray paint No Way Out onto a table at ringside and leave. Okay, more on that later on. Steph goes to deal with Trish, but... Are you ready? What was it all along? What was it?
Hang on.
See, Tom could do this now, his legs aren't knackered.
By the way...
He's doing the dramatic Linda by standing up.
Viscera t-shirt, if you're watching on the Patreon. God. Thank you, Jim, my brother, for
it's
making
so
that.
It's so great.
So if you're watching on the Patreon, you'll appreciate
it. I want one. I love Midian.
So it was a setup all along.
Now I have to wait while Tom comes back and banging over everything. Oh, hello, Tom.
Hi.
Trish wasn't sexing in a car.
It was a sex-up all
along. Right there. Oh, right, stand up, go bang some other things. No, don't really. I don't know. It's not explained how Trish made all that steam.
Just...
Oh, yeah.
I'd have had to fight the urge to do a smiley face.
Yeah.
I'd have had to fight the urge. So Vince wasn't in the limo.
She wasn't in the limo. She was having a good time.
What a shit setup.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Speaking of shit setup, Trish allows Steph... What? No, Trish throws Steph, I should say, into the manure / horse poop that happened to be there in the stables, which is in every parking lot in every arena.
In the Kemper arena.
Yeah, in the chemical arena. Steph then gets liquid poo dumped on her, and now this feud has tension. And poo. that was a lot of poo.
There was a lot of poo, unfortunately.
About you know what? They showed this to kids.
I can.
You know what they did? They saw that segment of poo getting dumped on her, and even more poo. And then one kid gave another kid a powerbomb.
I can give you a few details about why there were horses there.
Oh, why?
Because the Kemper Arena is host to several horse shows. Including the Cutting Horse Show, the American Royal Horse Show.
Oh.
It's a livestock
American
show in
and
Roney.
Royal.
Yeah.
How's that work?
The American Royal Livestock.
Hang on, that's our crown.
It's a and then the logo contains a crown for Crown and Country. The American Royal is a livestock show, horse show, rodeo, and barbecue.
Oh, no. Is that the losers?
That's unfortunate. I'd be worried if I was a horse going to that show. There's a barbecue here. Oh, dear. But then...
Do you think they have to, like, convince all the horses to do it by cutting off a dude's head and putting it in the bed with them?
Oh. Horses are going, that smells nice. What are you cooking?
Oh, no, it's Jim.
We'd like to thank Finders for sponsoring the barbecue.
Ah, there we go.
Woo! Whoop! Woo!
It's main event time.
It is indeed, mate.
Kane,
main event o'clock.
The Rock and Undertaker taking on Team Ek, no DQ. With that table still at ringside. I don't think it'll come into play, though. I think it's just there for show.
Yeah.
No one wants to start with Undertaker to begin with, so Angle braves it out. knowing what happened the last time they feuded. Deadman Inc. no sells Kurt, and also no sells Rock's request for a tag. Christian runs in, but Undertaker no sells that as well. But Angle is able to get out the ring so he can drop Edge and land old school. Oh my God, I missed a line. Undertaker no sells that. Angle is able to run the ring so he can get dropped. There we go.
There you are. Another big
Undertaker then no sells some Edge and lands old school on him. Undertaker lets Kane tag in, further annoying The Rock, who really wants to tag in and mess up Angle. Top rope clothesline takes down Edge. That finished him off last week. But everyone else decides to double team Kane, which he no sells and suplexes both E and C instead. Jesus, the Canadians are getting nothing in this
absolutely
match.
Absolutely bugger all.
Rock tags in and slaps Christian around before demanding Angle get in the ring. Kurt waits until Christian distracts him before taking Rock down, then tagging in, because he's Kurt and he's great. Team Eck beat up The Rock for a bit, as someone needs to take some damn offense in this match. And amazingly, it's The Rock for a change. The Rock recovers to Samoan drop Edge and smash Angle's pasty. Undertaker chokeslams Christian, and it all breaks down, with Kane and Undertaker bouncing Edge around the ringside. The Dudleys appear and deliver the "What's up?" to Christian's balls. Completely legal, and there's no DQ match. Undertaker blocks the Dudley's 3D attempt, so the tag guys brought at ringside until The Rock gets the sharpshooter on Angle, with Edge blocking it, allowing Kurt to Olympic slam a Rock through the table to win. Kurt Angle then locks in the ankle lock on a tapping Rock, but is still in the table, and that's a great image to end on. This was a great match for Kurt, and a completely shitty one for Edge and Christian.
I'm sad that Rock was the one, and I'm glad you made a note of it. Like, Rock was the one that took the majority of the beating.
Yeah.
I thought that's... But then, of course, going into this Sunday, I think it's kind of the way of things, Angle getting that big win.
Someone in this match needs to get beat, or it's going to be the most one-sided match I've ever seen. And it almost felt like there's that story Cornette tells about... Was it Terry Gordy and... Michael Hayes. The Fabulous Freebirds, when they came back, and it was the Hayes-Garvin version of it, were just not wanting to sell anything. Like, we're so cool and big and stuff.
We're the
like,
best.
Hayes was apparently, you know, on the protein supplements and stuff at that point. It was like, we're going to, like... They said they no sold Cornette's racket, and Cornette had to tell them, you know, even the Road Warriors sold that, right? And apparently they had a match. I think it was Gordy and Williams. Oh, it was a six-man tag. Oh, involved Midnight Express as well, I think. It was a bit of a mixed one that we usually do. But, like, I think Steve Williams has had enough of Hayes no-selling him. Like, no, you have to sell something and then end up breaking a wooden chair over him going, fuck on me. And him, fuck with me. Fuck with me. It got really bad. It's like, how dare you sell something, motherfucker?
What have they done if they faced Undertaker and Kane? That'd have just been...
God, Undertaker and Kane. Undertaker and Kane, yeah. 01 Undertaker and Kane taking on the Fabulous Freebirds circa 89.
Just nobody dealing with anything.
Nothing.
Just constantly.
Nothing.
Constant nothing. Constant nothing.
Constant nothing. For 10 minutes. So, yeah, it's still, though, it served the purpose. SmackDown is still the setup show to a certain degree, and this set up the main event match between Angle and The Rock. Angle... doing a bit of comedy, but doing the series as well. A great final image.
Yeah.
Rock tap out while he's in the table. He's like tapping in the bit of table in his hand. He's like, ow, that hurt. Ow, ow, ow. Yeah, I liked it.
Angle putting the ankle lock on. The ankle lock getting over all over again, which is nice to see.
They also called it the Olympic Slam, which I believe they were told not to after a while because they told the Olympics has that trademark. So I think it was a slight...
Oh, really? Is that why it became the Angle Slam?
Yeah.
Ah, the more you know. Yeah. I thought it was just moving away from that sort of era.
I thought so as well, but the Olympics, like, no, you can't use our name like
that. You can't use the Olympics.
Or paying us. So I was like, all right, angle.
Angle slam it is. And, well, there you go. I didn't know that part.
I don't know.
There was an issue with that, but I guess so they got a slap on the knuckles for... A rap on the knuckles for calling it an Olympic slam.
They hit the knuckles and they went, oh, no.
Oh, no. What do you remember?
Oh, what do I remember from this? I remember Kurt Angle being great.
Yeah.
Because for a while I went, this guy's stupid. This is just, I don't like this guy. He sucks. Because he just keeps on fluking victories. And that was his character for a bit. But a lot of what he said here, like, I agreed with. I'm like, Rock sing about pie, that's ridiculous. I went, yeah, I don't like that song either as a kid. I don't get it.
I remember Al Snow's commissioner run.
Do you? Well, you remember
because I was a big fan of Al Snow as a kid.
I was.
And I thought, oh, this is cool. This is a fun thing for Al to do. This will lead to something for Al. It doesn't. But it leads to something for someone else. But I remember him wearing... I remember him, like, lobbying to become commissioner. I remember that was a fun bit. So while there were lots of other memorable things on this show, the image of Al Snow walking down the ramp throwing badges into the crowd is something that I do... I recall the moment I saw it. What have you forgotten from this week's show?
I forgot everything about Test European title. It's like, poor bastard. Regal came back and he was European champion for ages and then something, and then he was in the main events and all that. I'm like, oh, they lost a Test, didn't he? Because then, of course, Test wrestles Eddie at WrestleMania X7, which I remember, but I'm like, what are you doing with this belt? How dare you have that?
You're not one of us.
Yeah. Regal's in the main events with Strish and Vince and doing the main event stuff, and it's like, and now he's going to wrestle Test for the European title. You're like,
it's almost like Regal's in the mix as the European champion with like Austin and Vince and Trish and etc. So Test, if I beat him, I'll be there too. And he immediately wins the title and then is back where he was before and Regal remains there. What? That's not fair. I forgot about the hardcore top contenders match. That was a fun bit of bollocks. All those lads in there together throwing weaponry at each other.
Yeah. Another thing I could say is, another thing I remember is that they say, yeah, how good Big Show was in the hardcore run.
Yeah, yeah. This was exactly where he needed to be right now.
Yeah, with 20 people bumping for him. OVW paid off, didn't it, Jim Ross?
So that was SmackDown, the 72 hours away from No Way Out SmackDown. Oh. So next time we are together, it is a watch-along of No Way Out 2001.
Yay.
What I remember... mainly a one, maybe two match show.
No, I'd say it's a three match with some other stuff on the undercard. Yeah, there's a lot of crap stuff on the undercard, has to be said. But
we'll find
the four way for the IC title, remember being great. Three Cages of Hell, and the main event. Oh, and the crappy tag team table match where everyone's dead.
Where everyone is just packed.
Yeah, it's like a World War One hospital. Yeah.
We will watch it again next week and you'll watch it with us as it'll be a watch along presentation on the Cold Talk Podcast feed. And until we are next together doing that, he is at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Thank you. Good recovery. Together, we are at Cold Talk on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. Test
is dead.
He's not dead. He's not. Well, I mean, he is. Test. Okay, here we go. Here we go. He teams with Bobby Fish and he's called Test the Waters.
Oh, I was going to go with him and Rikishi as driving Test.
That's the win. Love you, bye. Oh. Love you, bye.
That's the close.
That's the hot close.
Oh,
mate.
No.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.